Okay, well, let's jump right in this morning. Is everybody ready to go?
Yep.
All right, what we are going to do today is we are going to continue our series on the Holy Spirit, titled Holy Spirit 101. Last week we talked about the nature of the Holy Spirit and why we needed to know anything about this stuff. Today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in ministry. The Holy Spirit in ministry. Now, I haven't decided fully if I'm going to preach another sermon, like a part two next week on this one or not, because there's so much that the Holy Spirit has to do with ministry. Just to make this really simple and basic, when I say ministry, a lot of people probably think a pastor, you know, pastoral ministry. The word ministry really just means service. So how many of you here in the church have ever served someone else in some capacity? How many of you have ever done it in the name of Jesus? Anybody? There you go. So, you are ministers in that context. You may not be pastoral ministry, you may not be full-time ministry, but you are ministers. So, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in ministry today. And one of the ideas that I had leading up to this was I wanted to go and I wanted to find a bunch of testimonies about people who felt a call in their life from the Holy Spirit to do some sort of a ministry, and what that was like, you know, how they figured it out, how they worked it out. What was that moment where they said, I'm going to do this ministry on behalf of Jesus Christ? What I found was a lot of people had a lot of ideas. You know, they had like the five steps to knowing if you're called and all that kind of stuff. But no one really ever addressed the moment that they felt called. And there's a problem with trying to give five steps to know if you're called, because really, the Holy Spirit indwelling a person is about feeling what the Holy Spirit wants. Understanding it outside of the five easy steps. Understanding it outside of the things that other people say or do. Now, those things are all helpful. But to really know that you're called to something, you have to feel it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of those spiritual things I was talking to you about last week, right? It wasn't going to make logical sense. It wasn't going to make scientific sense. There's no way to break this down any other way but to say what I found. One guy said this in his description. He said, when I felt the call of Jesus on my life, when I felt the call. Now, he still gave his five steps and all that, but he said, I felt it. And to save you the time of sharing my testimony over and over and over again, I had the very same experience. I felt the Holy Spirit calling me. I felt it in my spirit. I heard it in my mind, not in an audible voice, but just this thing. I just can't explain it to you unless you've experienced it. I just knew I was called to do ministry. So let's ask a few questions. Caitlin, bring this up if you will. I've got some questions here. So my first question is, have you ever felt a call on your life from God? Now this is an important question for all Christian believers because all of us are called in some form to be ministers, right? We're all called to serve God and to serve other people. That's indisputable. Amen, church? So since we are all called to that, we all have to minister in some way, whether it's ministering to the Lord in worship and praise and service and obedience, or if it's ministering to others, and most of the time it's going to be both of those, right? It's going to be both of those. So how many of you have ever felt a call? You couldn't explain it. You couldn't quantify it, but you felt it. You heard it in your spirit. The second question is, what did it feel like? If you were going to try to explain it to somebody, if you were going to try to put it to words, what did it feel like? The third question is, what does having a call mean? What does having a call mean? And then the fourth question is this, how do you know if you have a call from the Holy Spirit? Now let me explain to you what I mean by this. Let's go one by one here. How many of you could honestly say, I'm not sure that I've ever felt a call like you're talking about, Pastor? Raise your hand. There's no shame in it. It's okay. Raise your hand. How many of you felt that before? In some shape, form, or fashion, you felt it. Raise your hands. That's good. That's good. So we've got some people who haven't. We've got some people who have. For some of you who have felt it, What did it feel like to you? You've heard my testimony a billion times. Somebody else, what did it feel like to you when you felt a call? Anybody? If you don't answer, I'll just tell my story again. My wife said, please, someone answer, please. Anyone, a feeling, an emotion, a moment in your life, Miss Gloria? Huh? You heard a command, right? Yeah. Yeah. Now, did God part some clouds and stick a big face out of the clouds and start talking, or was it an internal thing? But you did feel it, no doubt, right? You did feel it, okay? So she explained it felt like a command, and when she didn't respond to it, she felt guilt, right? Because she didn't do what she had been asked to do, right? Okay. What does having a call mean? Anybody who's had the call, what do you think it means? What does having a call mean? Okay, so Miss Ellen just gave a really good answer to that. She says she feels like it's answering to whatever gifts God has given you. So if He's gifted you as a preacher, then guess what you're probably called to do? You're probably called to preach, right? If He's gifted you in serving others, whether that's just taking them a meal when they're hungry or cleaning up their house because they can't do it, you know, maybe you have a gift of service. So I think that's a really good answer that Miss Evelyn's given us this morning. So what does having a call mean? It's responding to the gift that God has granted you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now our fourth question is, how do you know if you have a call from the Holy Spirit? Now here's where it gets interesting to me. Here's where it gets interesting to me. Because a lot of times people can be good at something and they say, I want to do this in the church or I want to do this as a ministry. But number one, it's not something you can really do for ministry. Or number two, their heart is not in the right place when they're doing it. So they use a skill and they call that skill ministry. Okay? Now, let me give you an example. I can fix computers. I can work on computer networks. I can do things like that. It comes very easy to me, and I love doing it. I enjoy it. I have a passion about it. But does that mean if I open a computer repair business and start charging people and, you know, running it like anybody else runs it, can I say, hey, I have a computer repair ministry, Maryland? No, I can say I have a computer repair business, and I love it, and I'm good at it, and I have a skill. The only way to turn that into a ministry is when it begins to serve God or people within His kingdom. Does that make sense? So you can sometimes get confused because some people are really good at things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're called to do that particular thing. It's not necessarily a spiritual gift. That's just a physical gift or something you're good at naturally. Do you understand the difference? Because a supernatural gift, a Holy Spirit gift, is like preaching. Now, I'm going to tell you the honest truth here. You see me today, and a lot of people, I know Paula tells me this all the time, that I never seem nervous. No matter where she sees me speak, no matter where she's heard me speak, she says, you never seem nervous, you never seem flustered. Well, the truth be told, when I was a teenager, I was paralyzed by the fear of public speaking. Paralyzed by it. I like talking. I enjoyed conversation. I could be around a few people and I could talk and it was no problem. But man, if you asked me to stand up in front of somebody with a pulpit and everyone's just looking at me like you are right now, expecting something out of me, then a few things started to happen to my body. One thing was my right leg did this. And I couldn't stop it. It just shook, right? And I had this thing in my gut that just twisted and turned in every fiber of my being, Brother Billy, wanted to say to me, do not speak in public. Do not do it. Whatever. I'm telling you, it was more fear than I would have grabbing a rattlesnake. I'm telling you, it was scary stuff. So I can tell you right now, I was not naturally good at speaking and preaching and teaching in a public setting. What I do today, what you are seeing today, is a spiritual gift and a call from the Holy Spirit that I have responded to. The fact that I can stand in front of you today without my leg doing this, right? Without stuttering and without that huge knot in my gut before I stand up is a direct result of a Holy Spirit gifting. And all Christians are promised some sort of Holy Spirit gifting. Amen? So understand the difference between being naturally good at something and having a spiritual gift. They're two completely different things. So what I want to get into today is, what does it mean to have a call? We're going to look at some scriptures where there is a clear calling and it's from the Holy Spirit. And then what does it mean to have the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit backing you up in that particular ministry? And what are some of the pitfalls and the things that you can get into when you don't have a call and when you don't have the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit backing you up in ministry? Are you ready for that, church? All of you here today who are in a specific ministry position, Sunday school teacher, van driver, pastor, worship leader, piano player, whatever it is you do in ministry, you're on the board in here, you're making financial decisions, Sunday school superintendent, you need to pay very close attention. Anyone who's in a ministry position. But everybody else needs to know you've got a ministry as well. Maybe you just haven't discovered it. Maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you're resisting the Holy Spirit or ignoring the Holy Spirit. But you need to pay attention to this as well, because there's work to be done. There's a call on your life, and there is power and authority in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit for you to do exactly what God wants you to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's start this morning with the idea of a call. The calling for ministry service comes from the Holy Spirit. Look at the person next to you and say, the Holy Spirit calls you. Now understand, the Holy Spirit calls you. Pastor Shane does not call you. See, some people get confused here and they think that just because Pastor Shane says, Mike, I got this thing that I need done in the church, can you do it? They confuse that with the calling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've probably asked hundreds of people in the time that I've been in ministry to ask them to do things that they weren't necessarily called to do. But that is up to you to decide whether or not you have a calling to do that thing, or if it's something that you can do that's very simple and basic that doesn't require a call. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I ask you to teach a class, you better have a call. Amen? If I ask you to be part of the community care team like we anointed Marilyn to be, you better have a call, right? If I ask you to stand up and lead worship and sing songs and lead this congregation in praising Jesus Christ, you better have a call, right? So there are things that you need to have a call for. And what we're going to do is we're going to understand by reading these scriptures that our call into ministry comes from the Holy Spirit. That means it comes from that place where you just feel it, where you hear it, where you understand there's a command on your life, as Miss Gloria shared with us. You understand that God has said to you, not to anyone else, has said to you, Will, this is your ministry. You need to do this. And then you don't have to answer to anybody else. You don't have to answer to the pastor. You don't have to answer to the church. In fact, the Apostle Paul started to minister long before he was ever recognized by the church in Jerusalem. Any Bible readers, Bible students understand? He wasn't recognized by them for a long time. But he was called by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ on behalf of God the Father to do the ministry that he did, and he just started. After his conversion, you read in Acts, he just started preaching, right? He didn't have to have anybody officially ordain him. He didn't have to go through 3 years of training. He didn't have to have an education. None of that stuff was necessary, even though it does help from time to time. Amen? Amen. So I want you to understand where that call comes from and the authority that you have. Look here at Acts chapter 13. Turn to your Bibles. Acts chapter 13, verse 4. It says, So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Now, this is talking about Paul and Barnabas and the ministry that they were going to do. It says they were sent out by who?
Holy Spirit.
Now, understand how important this is. They weren't sent out by the church. They weren't sent out by a group of the original disciples of Jesus, what we know as the apostles. They weren't sent out by some organization. They were sent out by the Holy Spirit, which Church, understand this today. This means that if you feel a call on your life, if you feel the Lord asking you to do something in His name for the kingdom of God, you don't need any other authority but that. That's all you need. If you're called to serve somebody, then you just start to serve. If you're called to preach, then start to preach. If you're called to teach, start to teach. If you're called to do something for the Lord, then do it. But very often, we feel that call and we resist that call. There's precedent for this in the Scriptures, okay? In fact, it says that the Jews in the Old Testament all the way up to the time of Christ resisted the Holy Spirit. Don't you think that the Holy Spirit worked on them to try to teach them about Christ and about the way they were supposed to be living and about the new covenant? Yet, who hung Him on the cross? Those very same people. They resisted the Holy Spirit. Church, you can resist the Holy Spirit. There could be a call on your life, young people, teenagers. There could be a call on your life, those of you who have jobs, full-time jobs. There could be a call on your life. Those of you who are here retired. And, you know, I know a lot of you have worked, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years in the ministry. And you say, man, I have put in all this time and I'm taking a break. And I'm not going to argue with you. But my question to you is the Holy Spirit arguing with you? Because who cares about Pastor Shane? Who cares if I think, Ken, I think you ought to be doing some ministry in the church that you're not doing? Who cares, Brother Billy, if I say to you, Billy, you really should be doing this, this, or this in the church? What you need to care about is whether or not you feel the call of the Holy Spirit to do something on behalf of Jesus Christ. And if you feel that call, are you resisting it? Are you arguing? Are you so caught up in some of the things we're going to talk about here in just one second that you continually say no? When the Holy Spirit called Paul, he went. And it says they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. And then they went down, right? Let's take a look at the next one. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Now, this particular scripture is speaking to pastors. So understand this about pastors. Understand it about your pastor. Understand this if you were ever called into pastoral ministry. Really understand this about all ministries. The Holy Spirit, it says, has made you overseers. So when you look at me, when you look at Pastor Shane, understand that the Holy Spirit has made me your pastor. Amen. Not the little ordination paper that I got. Not the degree from Mid-America that I got. In fact, not even the fact that you hired me. That is God's plan. I am your pastor because the Holy Spirit has made me your pastor. It's as simple as that. So for everyone here that feels the call on their life, understand that that call requires nothing but your obedience. Amen? That call requires nothing but your obedience. So let's bring up this next one here. And this one's going to get interesting because we're going to dig a little deeper into this. Here are three bad reasons to get involved in ministry. Are you ready for these? Three bad reasons to get involved in ministry. If you're asleep, wake up. If you're not paying attention, wake up. I know I'm not doing a dance. I know we're not showing videos. We're talking about the Word of God. Amen? We're talking about ministry. We're talking about serving people. We're talking about getting things done for the kingdom. We need to get serious and get real this morning. Three bad reasons to get involved with ministry. Let me say this before I give them to you. Ministry is always about someone else. Say that with me. Ministry is always about someone else. It is never, ever, ever about you. Ministry is never, ever, ever about you. It's always about someone else. Either you are ministering to God Almighty, or you are ministering to somebody else. And I'm going to tell you, these three things all have to do with you thinking ministry's about you. Are you ready for them? Here they are. Three bad reasons. Guilt. Every time I stand up here and I say, man, we really need bus drivers. I just need a volunteer. Maybe there are some of you that say, man, I really should drive that bus. I feel so bad. Probably none of you, but some of you might do this. Man, I really feel like I need to do this, and you feel guilt. Or I say, we really need Sunday school teachers. And you say, man, we really need to keep Sunday school going. Or, hey, here's one. Will standing back there taking care of his baby. Will knows what I'm talking about because he said this before. He likes having men's fellowship, right, guys? You remember men's fellowship? So he said, man, we really need to get men's fellowship started. So we can say, hey, I want to do it, but the question is, are you called by God to do it? Or do you want to do things because you feel guilty? Because when you feel guilty, and we're not talking about the guilt you have from sinning against God. We're talking about the guilt you have if I say, hey, Mandy, will you come up here and will you do X, Y, and Z? And Mandy says, man, I really want to please Pastor Shane. I don't want to let him down. I want to be, you know, so she feels guilty. And she does it so she will feel better about herself. Are you following me this morning? So that type of guilt that leads you into ministry leads you in because you don't want to feel bad about yourself anymore. And people do this with church attendance too. I love it. They say, well, I showed up for church today. I'm going to feel good all week now. You know, and what they're saying is not that I was filled with the Holy Spirit and I praise God with passion and the pastor preached the message and it changed my life and I'm ready to go do something for the kingdom. They're saying I felt guilty if I stayed home and now I don't feel guilty. So I'm going to feel good all week, right? Because I showed up for church. Three bad reasons to be in ministry. And the first one is guilt. When you relieve the guilt, all it does is make you feel good. You're not really doing it for anybody. You're just doing it to relieve yourself. It's a bad reason. Second reason, self-promotion. A lot of people like to be involved in ministry because it gives them a title. It gives them a position. It gives them a place in church. It gets them a place in the pecking order. It gives them responsibility. And they have this sort of, oh, you know, so-and-so runs this ministry and they do so great and there's accolades and there's applause and, you know, there's appreciation cards and, you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm going to tell you something. One of the hardest things for me when I first started preaching was when you guys would acknowledge me for anything. I like to stand up and preach and pray and serve. I'll come to your house and I'll wash your toilet. You hear me this morning? I will come to your house and I will get on my hands and knees. I'll scrub your floor if you need me to. No, I'm just not scrubbing your floor. I'm just not scrubbing your floor. No. The point is this. Yes, they're right. I said, take the foot out of my mouth. The point is this. It's that when I would feel someone saying, man, you know, let's bring Pastor Shane up and say we appreciate him and he's so good and he's so great. That made me feel bad. Made me feel uncomfortable. Made me feel nervous. I can't even hardly look you in the eyes when you do that sort of thing for me. I thank you for it. But it makes me feel weird. If you stand in front of the church and it makes you feel like a superstar, then you got some problems, right? If you want people to start treating you differently because you're involved in ministry or behaving differently towards you because you do something so great for the church, then you have to take a step back and ask yourself, am I really doing this for God? Am I doing this to serve people because I love them? Or am I doing this because I want to be seen and noticed and heard and I want people to make a big deal out of me? That's the second really bad reason to get involved in ministry. The third one is this. Selfish personal gain. Now, this could come in a lot of forms. It could come financially. It could come emotionally. You know, there are times where you get involved in ministry, and I know this is a big thing with preachers. And trust me, don't think I didn't have to cross this bridge when you guys asked me to, you know, come and be the minister of the church and you started giving me a salary. You can ask my wife. It made me feel tremendously uncomfortable because I grew up in the era of Jimmy Swaggart and folks of his ilk. And I saw the reaction that the public had to ministers who made millions of dollars and lived these lavish lifestyles. And then they were caught in all of these, you know, these moral issues, and they had all these, this wealth. And then people would look at them and go, man, preachers, they're just trying to trick people into, you know, giving them some money. And I brought that in. I hated the idea of taking money. I have to pay the bills, you know, if I'm going to be your full-time pastor, but I never liked the idea of it. So there are ways when you get into ministry, you say, well, this can benefit me somehow. If you get into a ministry because you feel like it can benefit you and that's your motivation, this is going to make your life better, that is a bad reason to get involved with ministry. And I promise you, if you feel a call of the Holy Spirit, these will not be motivations. Amen? So if you're involved in a ministry today and you got involved because of guilt or self-promotion or some sort of selfish personal gain, then I can tell you right now that that is not a calling from God on your life. That's just something you did to serve yourself. Amen? So the call needs to be felt and understood as coming from the Holy Spirit. So what is your calling? What is your calling? Because everybody's got one. God's calling you to something. He's calling you to something. So what is your calling? Let's take a look at the next one. The next one is this. There's only 2 points in this sermon, Keith. You'll be so happy about it. 2 points in the sermon today, brother. All right. The authority and power for ministry comes from where? The Holy Spirit. Your authority and power comes from the Holy Spirit. That means that when there's something to be done and you say, that's impossible, I can't do that, I'm not educated enough, I'm not physically able to do the ministry that you're asking me to do here, it's just not reasonable for me to do this, then I say to you, you do not have the power and authority of the Holy Spirit backing you up. You're still trying to do it by yourself. And I'm going to prove that to you. Let's read a few scriptures today. The first one is out of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive what, church?
Power.
When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It says you will receive power. Mike, do you understand what power is? Hey, how many of you here, you've ever driven a diesel, big truck? I know a few of you got one right now. When you're driving that sucker and you're pulling that load, you can feel the power, can't you? And you see all these people driving around in their little old cars and, you know, motorcycles, and you're thinking, man, I got to just be alert and stay focused because, man, the thing I'm driving could crush everything around here. I mean, I could run into that building, go straight through it, and keep on going, right? I mean, you know that when you're behind the wheel of that big truck, you have got real power. And then imagine somebody turns you loose, Chris, and they said, run through any building you want to. Run over everybody. You can do it, and you will do it. Could you do it? Not asking morally, but could your truck do that? Could it run people down? Could it hurt people? Could it destroy things? Because power with authority is a big, big deal. Well, folks, when you get filled up with the Holy Spirit and you get a call on your life, you don't get it to go out and do it in a little Yugo. You don't get it to go do it on a bicycle. You get it in a big truck, right? You got some power and you got turned loose. The Lord says, when I send you to do something, you have my authority to do it. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit backing you up. That means if I sent you to do it, it is possible. It is more possible than you can even imagine. In fact, you're probably going to do even better than I told you that you were going to do. Because you have my authority and you have my power. Let's look at some scriptures today. Acts chapter 4, verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the what? Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. What he's doing is he's about to preach. He's about to preach. By the power of what? The Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Take a look at the next page, Caitlin. Bring it up. The next page says this, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was what? Shaken. And they were all filled with the what? Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with what?
Boldness.
Do you see the language here, folks? The power and the authority. These folks preached in the name of Jesus with His authority and His power. The type of power that shook the room. The type of power that gave people boldness to do what needed to be done for the kingdom of God. Take a look at this next scripture. This is Matthew chapter 10, verse 9. It says, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be what?
Given
to you in that hour what you should speak. Amen? Are you following the pattern here? Look at Acts chapter 3, or Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. We got something we need done in the church, but we don't just want anybody. We want people that are full of what? The Holy Spirit, the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit to do what we're asking them to do. But our churches either do not understand this, or they are resisting it en masse. Because the truth is, every single person in this place today who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, has confessed their sins, and has said, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to be committed to You. I want to live the life You've asked me to live. Every single person here, the Scripture says, has the capacity to minister in the power, in the authority of the Holy Spirit. Now, do our churches look like whole groups of people that have that type of power and that type of authority? You walk in a grocery store and you just know, I got the Holy Spirit with me. If I need to talk to somebody, I can go talk to them. If I need to stand up on the cash register stand and start preaching, I can do it. And that's why it sounds so crazy to you. Because you're thinking like people that are resisting the Holy Spirit. It seems crazy to be preaching on street corners. It seems crazy to think that you can change the world by becoming a servant like Jesus Christ. It seems crazy to think that you can walk into your home and transform a marriage or transform the lives of your kids because you have the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. We have churches full of people who do not take advantage of the power and the authority that is granted to them by the call that the Lord has placed on their life. It's just that simple. Whether it's in a church building or a Sunday school class or a bus route or doing anything that you do within the church and outside of the walls of this place that we meet. You need to know, church, today that if you are saved, that you potentially have the power in you of Almighty God. And that is not of you, that is of Him. But He has granted it to you for the glorification of His kingdom. So let's take a look at this real quick. This is something I want to share with you. Look at our next one. Here are two ways to know when you aren't in touch with the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for these? Now there may be more. I might could have came up with a whole bunch more, but here's the two I want to share with you today. You know that you're not operating with the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit when you are faced with something you know you should do and that you're supposed to do, but you have debilitating fear. The Scripture says that perfect love casts out all fear. It casts out the fear. So the perfect love of Christ in you casts out all the fear. So if God has truly called you to something, and you're walking up and you're facing that thing and you are debilitated, that means you cannot move, you cannot act, and you do not act, then you are not operating in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you're saying, wait a minute, Pastor, does that mean that I'm just supposed to be, you know, walking into situations and never be nervous, never have that kind of gut check moment? No. That's not debilitating. That's healthy. There's nothing wrong with a, you know, a little nervous stomach or, you know, something like that. But to walk to a situation in ministry and say, I literally cannot do this. I cannot do what you're asking me to do, God. And I won't do it. And I know that there are some of you here today that have been in that situation and you've done just that. I know it because I've been there. It's a common thing in the church where God has asked us to do something and we like to make excuses and we like to say, well, you know, I'm too scared. Maybe they won't like me anymore, you know, whatever. Debilitating fear. It will stall out the church of God. Because we are not drawing on the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. When we have the authority and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can do anything God has asked us to do. All things are possible through Christ who gives us strength. Amen, church?
Amen.
So if you've experienced that debilitating fear, the kind that will not allow you to do what you clearly know God has asked you to, then you are resisting the power and authority of His Holy Spirit. It's that simple. It's that simple. And here's the second one, self-blame. Now, this is one that I struggled with a lot. I did it for years and years in the youth ministry, and I actually did it the first few years of pastoral ministry. I'll say, man, I know that God wanted me to preach that sermon. Brother Billy, I just know I was supposed to read that scripture today. And I know that people responded. People cried, you know, people were moved. People were sitting out looking, you know, outside of the pew. They were trying to hear and just soak up all of this stuff that you were delivering. And nobody got saved. Nobody responded. Nobody came to the altar. Nothing's happening with the youth ministry. Nothing's happening with the adults. And there's no movement. God, I'm a failure. I'm not doing this right. I'm not preaching right. I'm not reading the right scriptures. Something's wrong with me. The problem with that is that when you do that, you're ignoring the Holy Spirit. And you're assuming that you can do all of it by yourself. And that the results are dependent on you. And that is simply not true. So if you are in a ministry today and you are discouraged and you are beat down and you feel like I've just been just spinning my wheels. I've been working and working and working and working and it feels like I'm not making any progress. Maybe you're not tapping in to the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit and all you're doing is doing the best you can do. And guess what? It might be pretty doggone good. But it's not better than Satan. You hear me? You might do pretty good. You might be better than 100 other people that would have came in and tried to do the same thing. You might be great. You might be as good as anybody could ever be. But that still isn't good enough. Not in the kingdom of God. Not with the war that we're waging. Not with the enemy that we're fighting. You cannot fight that enemy in the flesh. Amen? I see Miss Gloria shaking her head. You cannot fight that enemy in the flesh. You have to fight that enemy with the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. And if you are constantly blaming yourself, odds are you're focusing on you a little too much. And you're not giving the Holy Spirit near enough credit. Amen? Amen. So what I want to do today, let's bring up our application. And it's real simple. I want you to pray this week for a clarification of your calling. And what I mean by that is maybe you're not called to pastoral ministry. Maybe you are. Maybe you're called just to be this awesome, godly father. I mean, that is your calling. You're not called to anything else but just to be this godly dad that really teaches your children and models for your children what it looks like to be a man of God and to really, I mean, go to work every day, provide for your family, kiss your wife, love your family, teach your kids. Pray with them, right? Read the Bible with them. Maybe that's what you're called to do and you're not doing it. Maybe you're called today to teach and you're so nervous because you don't have an education and you look at folks like Miss Mickey that's been doing it for years and years and years and you say, I can't teach them anything. There's no way that I can do that. Maybe you're in a situation where you're saying, you know what? I simply don't have the time to do the things God's asked me to do. May I suggest all those situations can be remedied if you will simply tap in to a real, true call from Almighty God. And if you're in a ministry today and you clearly know you're not supposed to be in it, I mean, you could say, man, I have no calling in this. I know. I just know. After hearing this sermon, I know I'm not supposed to be doing it. I want to do something. I feel called to something. But I'm not doing it right now. I'm going to tell you, we're going to survive. Can I get an amen? We'll survive. If you come to me today and say, Pastor, I can no longer do this, we'll survive. We'll make, I know you're Superman. I know you're Superwoman. But we'll survive. Because I believe God, when He's using you in a true calling, can do magnificent things in this church. But when you're doing things outside of His will and outside of His calling, we're just going to be spinning your wheels. Amen? So I want you to pray about your true calling. What has God called you to do? And then acknowledge the authority and power of the Holy Spirit. If you're working in that call, acknowledge that you have got some real power behind you. You've got some real authority behind you. And that God can do some miraculous, wonderful, awesome things through you if you will simply allow Him to work. You will allow Him to work and acknowledge that in your life.